VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk. We're going to rather continue our discussion from yesterday. Bill Fitter was with us yesterday, not with us today. Just going to be sharing a number of news stories and certainly some audio clips as well as it relates to the raid upon Mar-a-Lago. I mean, it is amazing to see the fallout of this and what appears to be the politicization of the Justice Department and certainly not equal treatment under the law as it relates to their investigations. But just before we get to that, just of note, of course, is the Wyoming primary that was held yesterday, and Liz Cheney is not going to win re-election. She lost in the primary by about a 2-to-1 margin that took place there. And so this was a seat that was won out by Harriet Hegman in the Wyoming GOP primary. Cheney, of course, has been the vice chair of the House January 6th Select Committee and has been criticized for that role that she has taken on, the only Republican serving on the January 6th committee. Hegman will now face Democrat Lynette Grable in November's midterm election. Cheney spent her concession speech, this is from Newsmax.com, speaking out against Trump, blaming him for her loss. And instead of focusing on the details of her race, she read her speech from prepared remarks, saying in part to her supporters, "Our work is far from over," and vowed to make sure that Donald Trump is never again near the Oval Office. A very interesting statement there, and compared herself to Abraham Lincoln as well. Sarah Palin did advance in the Alaska House race yesterday, and we notice also that Lisa Murkowski and a fellow Republican, Kelly Shibaka, also advanced in that primary for the Senate seat in Alaska. So much to watch there, but friends, the time is closing in on us. I mean, we are less than 100 days away from the November election, and very important to watch what is taking place and to be observant of the candidates and to know who they are, what their positions are, and to vote our values. Vote our values is so critically important here as we consider the candidates and positions by which they stand, and actions often speak louder than words. Well, as we look at this politicization of the Justice Department, it is appalling to see, again, this raid that is going on. And this has been top stories here for over a week now. Looking at an article that came out from Newsmax.com, despite claiming an urgent need to conduct this raid at former President Trump's private residence at Mar-a-Lago, Attorney General Merrick Garland was weighing whether to greenlight the action for weeks, sources told The Wall Street Journal. The Justice Department and the FBI have been meeting on the nature of the raid for weeks, according to sources. Now, we're told this, you know, this was such an immediate need. This was, you know, this was a crisis. This was urgent. And yet they've been mulling this over for weeks. That's according to sources. And the final raid was executed when Trump was in New York before a meeting with the New York Attorney General. The warrant for Mar-a-Lago was signed August 5th, not executed until August 8th. Giuliani tweeted Friday, "Sure makes it clear that when they were looking, what they were looking for wasn't really serious if you could take the weekend off before acting on it." But the Journal sources say the process was put in place perhaps weeks earlier. An ongoing battle over the affidavit used to secure the search and seizure warrant from Judge Bruce Reinhardt. Trump's lawyers and Republicans want to see it released, the Justice Department seeking to keep it sealed to protect sources and methods in the investigation. House Judiciary Committee Republicans have requested documents and information from Attorney General Merrick Garland and FBI Director Christopher Wray on the raid, a request that is unlikely to be fulfilled amid the investigation. Garland is still weighing whether to pursue criminal charges for the handling of presidential documents by former President Trump or his staffers. Very interesting indeed. I want to play a couple audio clips here for you, one of which is Congressman Jim Jordan. He was on Fox with Trey Gowdy on Sunday evening and had some comments to share on this very issue.
I would just throw out the name Kevin Kleinsmith. Remember, this is the guy who altered evidence way back when, back in 16 and 17, when they first started spying on President Trump's campaign. We know that because of the inspector general. God bless his work. So put everything in context. Remember, this is the Justice Department that treated moms and dads as domestic terrorists. This is the administration that's going to unleash 87,000 IRS agents to harass American taxpayers and American families. And now we know this is the administration that raided the home of the former president of the United States and likely Republican presidential candidate in 2024. So these are sometimes I just step back and say, I cannot believe this kind of stuff is going on in the greatest country ever. And it's, I know, shocking to all of us and a concern. Certainly, I heard it from our constituents over this past week as I was traveling around the district. They don't know what to believe. They're so nervous and so scared by what they've seen.
Now, also on this program with Trey Gowdy was the former director of national intelligence, John Ratcliffe. And he went on and just criticized what appears to be a double standard that's being applied to Democrats and Republicans in the investigations, arguing that given that double standard, the takeaway is that the Department of Justice and the FBI were the enforcement arm of the Democratic Party. That's according to his words, seeing the article here on Breitbart pertaining to that. But let's hear what John Ratcliffe had to say in that interview.
Prosecutors, you were a former federal prosecutor. When you reflect on how they handled Secretary Clinton's case, do you see differences in the way the feds treated her versus the way they treated President Trump?
Well, Trey, I have to imagine that you and Jimmy and I were among millions of Americans that were choking back disbelief when Attorney General Merrick Garland was talking about how the Department of Justice and the FBI were committed to the even-handed application of the law to everyone, including Donald Trump, when the FBI and the Department of Justice so clearly, as Jimmy pointed out, they don't have clean hands on this matter. And you mentioned Jim Comey. You have an FBI director who has admitted that Donald Trump was treated differently under the law than Barack Obama and Democrats. Remember, you had an FBI director in Jim Comey who, when you talk about a disparity of treatment, wrote an exoneration memo 2 months before he interviewed Hillary Clinton, knowing that Hillary Clinton had dozens of classified, highly sensitive, compartmented information in her possession before dozens of witnesses, other witnesses were interviewed, and wrote a memo clearing her. That very same FBI director, Jim Comey, on his book tour admitted, I did things to Donald Trump that I never did to Barack Obama or would have tried. So think about that. An FBI director who's admitting I applied the law unevenly. I applied my authorities unevenly because it was Donald Trump and Republicans. And, you know, and to that point, that FBI director, having cleared Clinton before he ever talked to her, opened an investigation into Donald Trump after he had learned that the Russia collusion allegations were actually created by Hillary Clinton, and then went so far as to lie to the FISA court and verify a dossier that he knew to be fake to continue spying on the Trump campaign. So, you know, the American people unfortunately see that when it comes to Republicans and particularly Donald Trump, that for the past 6 years, we have an FBI and a Department of Justice that have literally become the enforcement arm of the Democratic Party.
The enforcement arm of the Democratic Party is what he said. I found it also, Jim Jordan had some further comments as he was talking with Trey Gowdy on Sunday evening, and he makes reference in this clip you're about to hear of 14 FBI agents came to his office as whistleblowers in the wake of this raid on former President Donald Trump's home.
I want you to imagine if the FBI agent investigating Hunter Biden was as biased against him as Peter Strzok was against Donald Trump. What do you think Politico's reaction would be to that? What would the D.C. media's reaction be if the bureau agent was as biased against Hunter Biden as Peter Strzok was against Donald Trump?
there would be no other news that you would see. I mean, we all know the answer to that question. We all know the response to that rhetorical question. So but understand the template here. The template never changes with these guys. It's the left creates a lie. Big media, mainstream press reports the lie. Big tech amplifies the lie. And then when we try to tell the truth, they call us names and try to cancel us and tell us and tell the world that, oh, we're the ones not being square with them. So the country, though, the good news is they figured it out. And I'll tell you who else has figured it out, Trey. And you and John, with your background in law enforcement, appreciate this. 14 FBI agents have come to our office as whistleblowers, and they are good people. There are lots of good people in the FBI. It's the top that's the problem. But some of these good agents are coming to us telling us this is baloney what's going on, the political nature now of the Justice Department. God bless them for doing it, coming and talking to us about the school board issue, about a whole host of issues. I mean, it's becoming a well-worn trail of agents who say this has got to stop. And thank goodness for them, and thank goodness that the American people recognizes it, and I believe they're going to make a big change on November 8th.
Are we witnessing, the politicization of the Justice Department? A question we're asking here today. We'll be getting your thoughts later on this issue. In a defiant social media chortle, it's reported former President Donald Trump revealed yesterday how one major FBI demand was foiled during this raid. This is from Western Journal. In the raid of Mar-a-Lago, the FBI demanded that all security cameras be turned off. What's this all about? We said no, Trump said in the post on his Truth Social platform, because the cameras remained on Trump and his family, who were in the Trump Tower residence at the time of the raid, could watch what was taking place, according to the attorney Christina Bob. Well, I think the folks in New York, President Trump and his family, probably had a better view than I did because they had the CCTV, but they were able to watch. I was struck by the parking lot there to collect paper and answer questions, she said, according to the Daily Mail. Bob has said that she was barred from entering the Trump's residence when she arrived during the raid, but they were actually able to see the whole thing, so they actually have a better idea of what took place, she said. Bob confirmed the FBI wanted the cameras off. So initially the agent said, you need to turn off the cameras. And then, of course, the staff complied, but we understand they were put back on. Eric Trump said that because the security cameras were operational during the raid, agents were seen in areas of the home there that they should not have been. Previous reports have said that the FBI reportedly entered the master bedroom in the 128-room estate, searching through Melania Trump's clothes. The agents cracked Trump's safe, which was empty, according to Eric Trump. That coming from the Western Journal. I find it also interesting, a story on WND.com, Paul Sperry, former Washington bureau chief for Investor's Business Daily, a Hoover Institute media fella, and has written multiple books, including the best-selling Infiltration. Now he's getting on Getter that Hillary Clinton acolytes work secretly with the Department of Justice on the FBI's raid on President Trump's Mar-a-Lago home. Further, they launched their attack on the possible 2024 GOP candidate for president based on his alleged possession, that is, of the type of records that other presidents have taken home with them and over which they have faced no investigation whatsoever. Sperry points out that David Loftman, recycled bad guy of Russiagate, is claiming that evidence seized validates the government search. However, one Senate investigator told Real Clear Investigations that Loftman, then Justice top counterintelligence official, was a mastermind behind the strategy to dust off and weaponize FARA against Trump campaign officials, creating the Russiagate disaster, the report explained. We'll have more after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where do comets come from?
Chris, the short-period comets, like Halley's Comet, can make only a few trips around the sun before they completely disintegrate. Yet there are a number of short-period comets. Obviously, to support a billions-of-years-old solar system, evolutionists need an inexhaustible supply of short-period comets. Thus, they had proposed a belt of comets called the Kuiper Belt orbiting the sun near Neptune. They had no evidence of such a zone of comets, but figured it must be there to salvage their theory. Well, now we have the telescopes and spacecraft able to search this zone, and we've found less than 4% of what they need. Thus, this dreamland of comets needed to salvage Big Bang ideas has been disproved. What hasn't been disproved is the creation story. That's the one that's given back in Genesis.
For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on BCY America, and just in continuation from yesterday from Bill Federer, are we seeing third world nations at work, so to speak? The tactics that are utilized in the banana republic, are we seeing them unfold before our very eyes? Why does all of this matter? Why does freedom matter? Well, friends, again, as we go back to the words of Ben Franklin, do you have a dictatorship or do you have a republic? And he says, a republic if you can keep it. And the question is, can we keep it? Can we keep it a republic? Will we honor our Constitution? Do we respect the rule of law in our country? Or do we weaponize the Justice Department against political opponents? And friends, what we have seen take place is just stunning across this nation here within the past week. Loftman, we were talking about here before the break, signed off on the illegal wiretapping of Trump campaign advisor Carter Page. An Obama campaign donor, Loftman, helped oversee a wide range of politically charged cases as a DOJ's counterintelligence section chief, including the department's highly irregular kid gloves investigation of Hillary Clinton concerning her mishandling of classified emails as Secretary of State, reports WND.com. Spurry reported that sources say the FBI agents and officials who were involved in the raid on former President Trump's homework in the same counterintelligence division of the FBI that investigated Trump in the Russia Gate hoax are also actively under criminal investigation by Special Counsel John Durham for potentially abusing their power investigating Trump in the Russia Gate fraud and therefore have a potential conflict of interest and should have been recused from participating in the supposed espionage investigation at Mar-a-Lago. Just the News is reporting three passports, privileged documents, a file on presidential pardons. As evidence surfaces about the FBI agents seized these during the raid of former President Trump's estate, new questions about the real focus of the investigation and new avenues for legal challenges are just bubbling to the surface. The Justice Department informed Trump's team on Monday that agents gathered the former president's passports and are obligated to return them. Officials are also reviewing seized materials that may be covered by various privileges, multiple sources told us in news. So they've seized papers that may have various privileges like attorney-client privilege. But friends, don't you believe that that's been compromised here at this point? DOJ has designated a process for separating the materials that could be covered by executive privilege or attorney-client privilege and hopes to return such memos to Trump within a couple of weeks, sources said. Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton, whose conservative watchdog regularly sues the government to release documents and is seeking to compel release of documents in the Trump search, said the government's first court filings appeared to describe an overly broad search that went far beyond classified records. He said they were engaged in a fishing expedition, and the warrant itself wasn't about classified information, though it mentioned it, Fitton told Just the News. It talked about all sort of other documents. It basically gave the FBI carte blanche to anything they wanted from the Trump home. He also added in the fact that a judge signed off on this is very troubling. Newsmax.com, the Department of Justice has returned former President Trump's passports now, but only after they grabbed everything while raiding his home last week. Trump said they raided it like a, quote, common criminal. He wrote on Truth Social, the DOJ and FBI just returned my passports. Thank you. Unfortunately, when they raided my home, Mar-a-Lago, 8 days ago, they just opened their arms and grabbed everything in sight, much as a common criminal would do, Trump's statement continued. This shouldn't happen in America. Looking at Western Journal, as Americans are rightfully frustrated with the FBI's raid of Mar-a-Lago, the Biden administration is warning federal and local law enforcement about the possibility of domestic terrorism. Isn't that what we heard? We played the clip yesterday. Dalton played it last Friday as well from Marco Rubio talking about the followers of Trump and now warning about the possibility of domestic terrorism? The Department of Justice, Department of Homeland Security, FBI, and Customs and Border Protection also issued warnings using very similar language, just the news reported. The Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Justice issued a joint intelligence bulletin accessible via the Homeland Security Information Network, providing information on the potential for domestic violent extremists to carry out attacks on federal, state, and local law enforcement and government personnel or facilities. BP Commissioner Chris Magnus wrote in a memo to employees last weekend. He said the warnings were necessary in light of an increase in threats and acts of violence, including armed encounters against law enforcement, judiciary, and government personnel in reaction to the FBI's recent execution of, quote, a court-authorized search warrant in Palm Beach, Florida. Following the attempted attack in Cincinnati, some federal police agencies were asked last week to monitor social media accounts of known political influencers for signs of agitation. And FBI officials reached out to some social media platforms frequented by conservatives. Can I read that paragraph again? Because this is stunning. Following this attempted attack in Cincinnati, this was at an FBI office in Cincinnati, Ohio. Some federal police agencies were asked last week to monitor social media accounts of known political influencers for signs of agitation, and FBI officials reached out to some social media platforms frequented by conservatives. While warning about potential attacks is one thing, monitoring conservatives on social media is another. Given the federal government's history of villainizing conservatives, it's hard to trust these agencies to determine what constitutes domestic terrorism. Now, isn't this amazing, folks? What is going on? And these are the tactics that Bill Federer warned about even yesterday on the program. President Trump recognizes that the temperature is going up in this nation right here. But are some of these actions designed to provoke people into action? It was his first interview since the FBI raid on his home. That he said there's a tremendous anger in the country, argued that tensions must dissipate or terrible things are going to happen. Is there an attempt to somehow create another January 6th type scenario that they can say, see here, look at this. This is domestic terrorism that Donald Trump is propagating all across the nation. They put up barricades around the FBI headquarters in Washington, D.C. This is troubling. Todd Starnes wrote, after the FBI raid on the Mar-a-Lago estate, the Biden administration's next move, according to former New York Police Department Chief Bernie Kerik, he warned the next move will be assassination. He responded to a tweet from Rick Grinnell, who called the raid outrageous, said it is creating a terrible precedent. Third world dictators prosecute their political enemies. Biden has weaponized the U.S. government for his political purposes, the tweet went out. And just like in other third world countries, if today's raid by Biden's FBI does not stop Donald Trump from running for president in 2024, the next move will be assassination, Kerik said. Now, I find it very, very interesting. I have another audio clip I'd like to play of Congresswoman Elise Stefanik in regard to this raid at Mar-a-Lago. She is a congresswoman from the state of New York, and here is some of her reaction to what took place.
House Republicans are committed to immediate oversight, accountability, and a fulsome investigation to provide needed transparency and answers to the American people regarding Joe Biden and his administration's weaponization of the Department of Justice and FBI against Joe Biden's political opponent. President Donald Trump is Joe Biden's most likeliest political opponent in 2024, and this is less than 100 days from critical midterm elections. The FBI raid of President Trump is a complete abuse and overreach of its authority. And as the American people know, unfortunately, this is the same agency leadership that protected Hillary Clinton, James Comey, and continues to protect Hunter Biden. The same agency leadership that perpetrated the false Russia hoax for years. And it's not just these national issues that have led to historic distrust among the American people. It's local issues as well. Like in my district, the FBI's leadership overreach and politicization continues to occur. The FBI continues to stonewall a critical investigation. They're stonewalling providing information and transparency into their role in the deadliest car crash in recent years, where they mishandled a longtime FBI informant. And while some of you national reporters may not know this issue, for reporters in the media in my district, this is one of the most important FBI issues that we're facing in upstate New York. But the American people are smart, and they have had enough. It is unfortunately why there is a fundamental lack of trust in these agencies, and the American people deserve answers. A House Republican majority will leave no stone unturned when it comes to transparency and accountability into the brazen politicization of Joe Biden's DOJ and FBI targeting their political opponents.
Elise Stefanik, speaking as Congresswoman of New York and speaking out in regard to this and promising investigations to take place. I find it very interesting that the Epoch Times had a story here. Trump lawyer alleges Democrats create fear via report on FBI seeking nuclear weapon documents and raid. Christina Bob, attorney for former President Donald Trump, dismissed a Washington Post report in which they allege that the FBI was looking for records, including classified documents related to nuclear weapons during its raid of Trump's Mar-a-Lago property on August 8th. Bob alleged that the report, which cited unnamed people familiar with the FBI investigation, was an attempt by Democrats to cause fear, saying, quote, "This is what the Democrats do. They don't have any good reason for doing what they did. The pathetic presser that Merrick Garland held for 3 minutes was insufficient, so they had to create fear," Bob told Fox News on August 11th. Normally, they would come out with exactly what happened and why and explain themselves, and if it was a good reason, they would have solid ground, Bob continued. But they are not on solid ground. So they had to come up with something that would potentially terrify the American public into freely giving up their constitutional freedoms, Bob added. Very interesting. The nuclear codes were not going to work. Once the presidency changed the hands, that those codes are no longer valid. They're no longer effective. Yet this aspect of creating fear in the American people is very much prevalent in what has taken place. Gateway Pundit reporting in 2020 in Pennsylvania, the FBI looked at the other way when crimes were committed in Philadelphia as ballots were manufactured to make up for the deficit to President Trump in the state. But in Philadelphia, Americans were physically and forcefully prevented, that is, from observing the election process. A truck driver reported he drove a truckload of ballots from New York to Pennsylvania and it disappeared. And the FBI attacked the young whistleblower in response. Former AG Bill Barr wouldn't protect that whistleblower as well. Now Penn Live is reporting that federal investigators delivered subpoenas or paid visits to several House and Senate Republican offices in the Pennsylvania Capitol on Tuesday. This is after the raid, Tuesday and Wednesday, according to multiple sources, and mentioned that the FBI is now going after Pennsylvania's 2020 alternate electors who were selected in response to stolen 2020 election. Is this the politicization of the Justice Department? Are we seeing the Justice Department now politicized in some effort to take control of this country? Folks, we're going to have some more thoughts after this. And trust you'll stay with us. I've got another audio clip I want to play as well. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Part of the Thief in the Night series, here is a clip from A Distant Thunder.
Your right hand, please. That trick, young woman, is used in here 50 times a day. Now, if you want your child cared for, you must have your ID.
I can't take the mark. My baby is dying.
The Thief in the Night four-part prophecy DVD set is available from VCY America as our way of saying thank you for your donation of $25 or more. The set includes A Thief in the Night, A Distant Thunder, Image of the Beast, and Prodigal Planet. Call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829, 1-800-729-9829, or order online at vcyamerica.org.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. We're talking about the politicizing of the Justice Department and what appears to be the politicizing. I mean, it has been very one-sided as to who the FBI will go after and with what intent and why are so many things being kept secret at this particular time. But friends, I don't want to instill fear. It's proper that we ask questions as to what's going on. I mean, I saw a column from Frank Gaffney the other day asking, did agents go in and bug Mar-a-Lago? Did dozens of FBI agents who rummaged through former President Trump's Florida home do something more than remove large quantities of sensitive information? White House official turned talk show host Sebastian Gorka told Steve Bannon's War Room pandemic show last week that a recently retired 23-year-old veteran of the Bureau asserted, given the amount of equipment they rolled into Mar-a-Lago and the fact that they spent 9 hours there, he believes the Bureau planted surveillance equipment bugs inside the president's residence. That's Frank Gaffney in his commentary on this issue here. Just add that commentary just the other day, earlier this week. Certainly, we understand the issues that are going on, but there's so much, very much a battle that goes beyond flesh and blood. Really, for the heart and soul of this nation, there's those efforts, as Bill Federer talked about yesterday, turning us over to socialism here on this land and seeing these tactics that are there. We know what the deep state is, and Lord willing, this coming Monday, Alex Newman is scheduled to join us, and we'll be talking more about the deep state being at work. But it is very much against Christian values, is very much against freedom. It is very much against national sovereignty and the push toward globalism. Is it any wonder why we're seeing this push take place toward a one world government system? I mean, look what's happening with the World Health Organization and the World Economic Forum. Crazy statements. The efforts for depopulation are all around us. The push toward a unified government, even our own president willing to give up, to surrender our sovereignty in order to give the WHO greater powers around the world. And we are also witnessing the push toward a digital money supply. You create things digitally speaking and everything, every transaction to be digital. That's just around the corner. We see that also that of what is happening spiritually speaking as well, the push toward a one world religious system. I mean, it's just this year that this Abrahamic Center is to be opened in Abu Dhabi, you know, where we have a church, a mosque and a Jewish synagogue all right together there. And we all sing Kumbaya with one another. Understand what's going on in this world. Time is short, friends, and Lord willing, tomorrow we're going to be talking further, as Richard Schmidt's scheduled to be with us here today, about what is coming up for this world in days to come. But we must be observant of these times and recognize, friends, time is short. And some of you are regular listeners to this program whose heart is far from God. And I want you to know the answer to this world and the issues that are going on is Jesus Christ. There is a war that has been going on here, the battle since Lucifer fell from heaven, who said, I will be like the Most High. And certainly he is seeking to stop God's plan from going forth. He will never be successful. What God has ordained will come to pass. We can trust that. But friends, I don't know what's keeping you from advancing further in placing your trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. There's going to be a time in which it's going to be too late. I want to mention also as we talk about this issue of the necessity of being praying in prayer for our nation, in prayer for our leaders. Scripture encourages us and mandates that we do that, to pray for those who are in leadership over us. That includes the president and vice president, those that are leaders in our legislative body and judicial and the executive branch. I mean, all around. Things are very urgent, and let me just take this opportunity for those within driving distance. We're joining up with Trail Ridge Camp and holding a day of prayer Saturday, August 27th, just around the corner, a week from this coming Saturday. And it's going to be starting at 9 o'clock in the morning. We're going to 2:30 in the afternoon. I'll be speaking on prayer, and then we're going to prayer. We're going to be praying for the state of our nation. We're going to be praying for the state of the family. We're going to be praying for the state of the church and pastors and so forth. And we'd like to encourage you to sign up. It's free of charge. There's no cost. A meal is being served. There's no cost for the meal. They take up a free will offering to help offset the expenses. But at trailridge.org, trailridge.org. And if this is not a time to be praying for our nation, when will it be? When will it occur? So go to trailridge.org Saturday, August 27th. Starting at 9 o'clock in the morning. It's not an all-day event, but we're going to have a very lengthy sessions of prayer for our nations, for our churches, for our families, and we would like to invite you to be there. If you're within driving distance, this Trail Ridge Camp located in the southwestern part of the state of Wisconsin and midway between Wisconsin Dells and La Crosse, Wisconsin. Be a part of it, but check it out, trailridge.org. But I trust your heart is burdened. Some of you I know are listening all over the country. Say, I can't be there, but you can go to prayer and spend time in prayer for this land. Well, the Epoch Times is saying that oversight GOP figures are requesting that the National Archives and Records Administration, that's NARA, provide information on the FBI's raid of the Mar-a-Lago estate. NARA's singling out of the President Trump's handling of official records stands starkly in contrast to the way NARA has treated far clearer violations committed by politicians and officials who are not Republicans. This was said by 20 Republicans in an August 10th letter addressed to the U.S. acting archivist Deborah Wall. The GOP members of Congress are requesting that NARA provide a member-level briefing on the following. Any evidence, and they requested this by August 17, that's today, any evidence of coordination between NARA and the FBI or between NARA and the DOJ on raiding the former president's property, any documents of NARA produced and submitted to a U.S. federal court, any documents that show NARA's process in collecting presidential records after a presidential transition. In addition, the Republicans ask in their letter that NARA preserves records related to the warrant executed by the FBI at Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort, which has for now yet to be unsealed, as well as any other NARA records related to Trump's papers following Trump's presidential term. Again, NARA stands for the National Archives and Records Administration. But where is this all going? Is there a connection to what this recently passed anti-inflation legislation passed in Congress? Kevin McCarthy took to the House floor recently, as this was being debated, about the weaponization that is going on, even in terms of the IRS. We saw what happened under the Biden administration, did we not? And now I'm bringing this in because I just wonder, is there a connection between the two? Let's listen to what Kevin McCarthy had to say.
Passing this bill today means more expensive bills for Americans tomorrow. And everyone who says otherwise isn't telling the truth. But of all the bad parts of this 700-page bill, the massive expansion of the IRS is the most chilling. Madam Speaker, I wonder if we could ask the same question, and oh boy, I imagine America will ask that in just roughly 87 more days. They won't just ask it. They'll answer the question, even if it's not asked, if they're better off than they were 2 years ago. But they'll probably ask the question, is America better off with 87,000 more IRS agents? Currently, the IRS has almost 80,000 employees, So you're going to smile. You're going to vote for it. A lot of you are going to mail it in because you're just going to vote by proxy. You're going to pass a bill you never debated by people voting by proxy. You're going to double the size of the IRS. They have 80,000 employees. You know what the IRS also has? 4,600 guns. 5 million rounds of ammunition. Why? Democrats want to double its already massive size. You're going to spend $80 billion of hard-earned American taxpayer money to hire an army of 87,000 new IRS agents. Why would you even propose that? Because you say, oh, it pays for the bill.
Kevin McCarthy, House Minority Leader. And folks, I'd like to get your reaction to these things. I've shared a lot of news today. You've heard some audio clips. Certainly a lot reeling across this nation since this raid took place just a week ago. Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Are you concerned for the future of our republic? Do you believe that there's a politicizing of our Justice Department that has taken place, that we are seeing a very classic example take place? Again, our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. President Trump wrote on Truth Social last week saying a horrible thing that took place yesterday at Mar-a-Lago. We are no better than a third world country, a banana republic. It is a continuation of Russia, Russia, Russia. Impeachment hoax number one, impeachment hoax number two, the no collusion Mueller report and more. To make matters worse, it is all, in my opinion, a coordinated attack with radical left Democrat state and local DAs and AGs. That's attorney generals. Well, that was his take on it. What is yours? Our number 800-733-9829. Let's begin here with Dominique in Mukwonago, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Dominique.
Thank you. I was very intrigued by your reference more than once in this program to connect the raid to the November election and just the ideas of what could be happening here. And I just wanted to say the same thing. It's interesting that I thought about is happening this Saturday. But the problem with this is obviously that it's unconstitutional, obviously done to an American, and it is happening to other Americans, not just President Trump. President Trump obviously makes it very big news that it's happening. And I remember that speaking of the November elections, that clerk Tina Peters in Colorado and her assistant were also mishandled by the FBI. And that show about what happened, Laura Logan has done that, and it's actually going to be premiered on Saturday at noon. It's called Selection Code, and they're actually going to be drawing the connection. And Laura Logan has done, she's been a reporter in war zones and human trafficking. She was almost killed by a group of men. And she said her life has never been in more danger than doing this video, Selection Code. Wow. And you can go on selectioncode.com to get that, to get signed up to get the video.
Great. Thank you, Dominique. And you're right. Has this been happening in other places? Absolutely. And certainly due to the stature of a former president. We've never seen this happen with a former president before, have we?
No.
Yeah. Thank you for the call. We'll try and squeeze Johnny in before our break. Corpus Christi, Texas. Johnny, you're on the air.
Good day.
Johnny, please go ahead.
If you don't like what's going on, you and the rest of these Christians that listen to you and other American citizens and patriots need to get off your tails, go down to Washington, D.C., and protest civil disobedience. I repeat, civil disobedience. But we have to do something. And that means going down to D.C. and protest, just like Martin Luther King did several decades ago.
Johnny, thank you for the comments. Up against a break. You know, sadly, there are people who are not even going to the ballot box. People who are not even going to vote when they have the opportunity to make a difference. Thanks for the call. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Last week, Salman Rushdie was stabbed 10 to 15 times and barely survived. Many know him as a fictional writer writing a book that, well, many say in the Islamic world insulted Muhammad and the Quran. For that, a fatwa was put on his head in 1989, and reportedly, Iran never let him forget. They were sure to mail him a card, a letter, every year reminding him they had not forgotten about him. Well, it took from 1989 to 2022, but now it's reported that the man that stabbed him swears an allegiance and loyalty to the head of Iran. Where is the media telling you about this? Oh, and another story. All the Muslims that were dying in New Mexico by a supposed Islamophobic individual turns out to be another Muslim. The media is not telling the American people the truth about either one of these stories, but we are, and that's why this network is so important. I'm Brennan House.
The number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Getting your thoughts on what's unfolded here over the past 10 days. We've got Brent calling in from Arizona. Brent, you're on the air.
Good afternoon to you, sir, and thank you for being there. I have a couple of opinions, and I hope to God that our president can hear this. If it were my choice, I would sell Florida now. You can't trust what they've done, the bugs they put in the place. And the other day, I listened to some congressmen from on a steering committee talking about the do's and don'ts about how they could approach the Trump problem. I don't believe any of their nonsense either. We have got to face up the facts that God's going to help us through this, and he has got to help all of us. Amen to you, and Amen. Thanks for being there, partner.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you for the call. Mark is next, Newark, Ohio. You're on the air, Mark.
Yeah, I just comment about this Mar-a-Lago. I think it's in Florida.
Yes.
If you put all the things together and what I've been hearing, it's more of a setup than anything. And I like what the Fox News and a lot of them was putting out before Congress wants them to get their that subpoena opened, saying that they have a good chance of slipping stuff into these boxes to really nail him. And American people's not believing it. I've been talking to a lot of people, and people say this is all a boondoggle, as they call them. So I'm still going to and vote for Trump when it comes to the presidential. And I hope the people in the United States hear this. Get out and vote. I don't want to hear anything saying there's reasons why you can't. Just get out and vote. Yeah. We need you out there. So that's my opinion.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate your call here today. Shelley is next, Cookeville, Tennessee. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi. I just wanted to make a comment. I don't think it's Trump that they're after. It is us. They've been poking at us, trying to get us to rise up for a long time now. And we need to be getting on our knees and praying. Hopefully we've been doing that. But they are so deep, and I'll be surprised if we even have an election this year.
Thank you, Shelley. And I've heard others express that same concern. Let's go to Jose in Milwaukee. You're on the air, Jose.
Hi. I just want to make a comment. Everybody's commenting about Biden making decisions, but I mean, seeing how he acts and talks and all that stuff, I mean, who's really making the decisions behind that? I mean, it's funny how, you know, we see him on videos and the news, unless he's acting that way, but who's behind him really?
That's another question many are asking, yet the White House is saying the president had no former knowledge, had no knowledge that this was going to happen at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, I think he's a puppet for, you know, the Socialist Party that we're going through right now in this nation. But, I mean, like you said on the program, I mean, we should call on the church to wake up.
Yeah, indeed.
Wake up and let's pray and fast. And we got an election coming up, and that's the only way we could fight with our knees.
Yeah, amen, amen. I appreciate the call. And, indeed, it's not a battle of flesh and blood, ladies and gentlemen. But it is one of principalities and powers against the rulers of darkness. It is there. And that's why we need to take those weapons that we have, the Word of God, the weapon of prayer. And again, this is why we're holding, again, an annual day of prayer, Trail Ridge Camp, on Saturday, August 27. I trust many of you can be there. Kevin in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, you're on the air.
Yes. I'd like to comment on this whole thing with Trump. So if we're a student of history, this is exact things that the Nazis used to gain power. The thing we need to do as conservatives is we need to get together. We need to communicate together. We need to stand down until after the election and flood the ballot boxes with our votes. And that will change this country.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin. We appreciate your weighing in. Dave in Glasgow, Kentucky, you're on the air.
Yes, considering the way the world's going right now, the only way we're going to get this straightened out, the only thing that's going to help is if we return to God and repent of our sins.
Yeah.
But this country is so proud that they're not going to bow. It's going to have to take a lot of prayer on our side to get these people. They've been blinded, and they're supporting an evil regime, actually. America's never experienced anything like this before. That's basically all I have to say. We're just going to turn to God.
Yeah, we do, and you've said a lot there. And thank you, Dave, for your call. You know, we have forgotten God. We have forgotten him. Abraham Lincoln had that in his speech some years ago in calling for a day of repentance and prayer for our nation. And, I mean, just recently, isn't it Fargo, North Dakota, where the school board came together and said, no, we're no longer going to have those that pledge before our meetings because of those two words that say under God? I mean, it's not inclusive enough. We can't have that. Sadly, folks, we're going down that path. Our final call today from Tennessee. Joseph, you're on the air.
Yes. What I wanted to talk about was the IRS agents. They're creating an army because they're fixing to create a problem that they're going to need that army for.
Hmm.
Something like doubling taxes, something we can't afford. And that's all I had to say.
Okay, thank you for that. Again, Lord willing, on Monday we'll be looking further into the deep state side of things with all that's going on and other issues taking place in our country and around the world with Alex Newman. But indeed, we do need to be in prayer. And I appreciate Adrian Rogers, and we've been airing a clip periodically on the air here on VCY America. Adrian Rogers, who preached, we are to praise our country when it does right. We are to preach to our country when it does wrong. We dare not identify the Christian faith with the Democrat or the Republican Party. We need to be free to tell both parties to repent. We will be civil, but we won't be silent. Nathan warned David. Daniel preached to Nebuchadnezzar. Moses warned Pharaoh. John the Baptist preached to Herod. It is inconceivable that God would have ordained human government and told his people to stay out of it. If that is true, who does that leave it to run it? We as Christians ought to participate, not on the basis of parties or persons or politics or policies, but principles. You say, Pastor, this is a church. Why don't you do something biblical? That's what I'm doing. You render to Caesar what is Caesar's. And I'll also add, you render to God that which is God's. Friends, we thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.